This is 5 March 03. Those of you who may get tapes and you may pay attention to the dates, last Wednesday was 26 February, but Dallas was iced out, so we missed meeting assembling together on the 26th of February. So today is 5 March 03. We are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression, and we are examining the seven-headed dragon of the soul, out from which inside of us rises all these heads that contribute to stress, anxiety, and depression. We have studied the first two heads and briefly looked at them, and we are ready tonight to start the third head that rises up and overthrows or seeks to overthrow who you are in Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer that we can orient ourselves to God the Holy Spirit, that He can teach us the things that we're about to look at. How's it going, Doc? What is important here about bitterness? And that's what we're going to look at tonight, the head of bitterness and resentment. The head of bitterness and resentment. And I'm going to show you, a lot of people don't think much of this, but I hope that you're going to realize just how detrimental it is to your spiritual life. And arises often from the spiritual life. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we now move into the study of the Scriptures in regard to things that happen inside of our soul that cause our lives to be characterized by stress, anxiety, and depression, come upon one now that is so characteristic of the first man in the first book of the Bible, Job, the first book written. This man's life is characterized during the chapters of his spiritual journey by an intense bitterness. I pray, Father, that you'll give me the words to communicate how severe this head of the seven-headed dragon is, the things that cause it to come about, and what we can do about it. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'm putting together in the third head the bitterness and resentment. Since anger is so explosive, few people give bitterness and resentment any real attention as to its severity. In fact, many Christians, even teachers, do not rate it up there with other sins that offend them, the pastor, but God does, and we're going to see that. God knows the power of this seven-headed dragon of our souls. Bitterness, as I'm going to show you, because a lot of people don't pay much attention to it, bitterness is like a slow-brewing cancer in the soul. And I hope to be able to present to you that it is often related to the spiritual life in your dealing with God. And I hope to be able to show you that. And if you're honest, bitterness is directed toward God. Job, the first book of the Bible written, all throughout the book of Job, he had to deal with bitterness. And I'm going to show you the dangers of it, because the spiritual journey for those who do make it, very challenging to becoming bitter. If you're in a spiritual journey, and when I say spiritual journey, I don't mean that you're being morally righteous for God, and I don't mean that you're learning a lot of Bible doctrine for God, and I don't mean you're having charismatic experiences for God, and I don't mean that you're in this great thing of serving God. I'm talking about where you're striving to walk by faith God the Holy Spirit moment by moment in your life. If that's the journey that you're on, bitterness is a real threat in your learning about God. In fact, those of you that are on these other journeys of learning Bible doctrine or being morally righteous or having charismatic experiences or serving God, and this is your way of knowing God, when God starts tapping on your shoulder, when God starts deciding to reveal Himself to you, people, you might be headed for a great deal of bitterness, because all that you've been doing isn't working. All that you've been accomplishing isn't worth anything. All your moral righteousness in the flesh means nothing. All your learning of Bible doctrine in the flesh means nothing. All of your charismatic experiences and all of your service, you're starting to be challenged to become very bitter because things aren't working out. The more you try to do for God and the less things happen, one of the most characteristic things that can happen in our spiritual life is bitterness. And I'm going to show you this as we study. And as almost every Christian will deny, bitterness, like anger, is fundamentally directed toward God. If you learn anything about bitterness and anger, learn that it's fundamentally directed toward God. And before you react to that, just stay with us for a while. Like, oh no, I'm not angry, I'm not bitter at God, I'm bitter at my husband, I'm bitter at my wife, I'm bitter at my parents, I'm bitter at this, I'm bitter at the government, bitter at the world. People, the sooner that you will come to the realization that you are bitter toward God, angry toward God, you'll come closer to finding how to tear down the stronghold of the soul of bitterness and how to become who you are in Jesus Christ. A great deal of stress, anxiety, and depression that comes to us in marriage relationships, as we're going to see, bitterness and resentment are powerful in that. And why wouldn't it be? Because in our spiritual relationship with God, what is it? It's a relationship. What is it? Marriage. It's a relationship. So I'm not surprised by that, and we'll take a look at it as we go through. Bitterness and resentment, please accept it and understand as a powerful stronghold of the soul. Bitterness resides in the soul, the heart, if you want some biblical word, cardia, or the soul, nephesh. And think about this. Since bitterness resides in the soul, it does its damage to the soul. It does its damage in the soul. As we're going to see, bitterness and resentment works like a cancer. Bitterness will eat away at your life, people. It'll eat away. And the stress and the depression and the distress become greatly severe. It's a little different than some of the other things like anger, because bitterness just slowly starts like a cancer. You're not even really aware of it. We're generally aware, aren't we, when we're angry? Doesn't kind of sneak up on us. We know it. Bitterness is the start in your soul before you even know it. In the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, and then it just starts, and you're not even aware of it until you come face to face with bitterness. Please turn in the Bible, and I hope it's you that are listening to this. If you're experiencing bitterness, resentment of the soul, you're honest enough to admit it. I hope that you'll have a Bible. I hope that you'll open your Bible. Hope that you'll take time. Otherwise, these studies aren't really going to do a great deal for you. How y'all doing tonight? Good. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 with me. Proverbs chapter 14, as we look to continue to look now, we're looking at the third head of the seven-headed dragon, and we're looking at bitterness and resentment. And all I want to do is just want to familiarize you with a few verses, because I want to show you the relationship of bitterness so that you will see it in the Word of God, bitterness and the soul. Are the heart, if you please. In other words, inside of you, who you are, the invisible part of your being. Now, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, look what it says. The heart knows its own bitterness. It's not just that bitterness is there. The Bible is going to go to great pains to show you that it is related to the heart. The heart knows, the heart, the real you, the soul, knows its own bitterness. It is so close to our being that the hurt in the soul is expressed, what, in terms of taste. This is different than fear and anger. This one's different in terms of taste. What something repulsively bitter does to your mouth, bitterness and resentment does to your soul. We know bitterness by the taste. We know it by the taste. Very close to our physical makeup. Bitterness is very close to the soul make up who and what you are. And again, I want to repeat the point. A sense bitterness resides in the soul. That's where it'll do its damage. It will eat away until it destroys all your ability of relationships in life. You put something in your mouth that is really bitter, you don't even want anything after that. Maybe a lot of water to just wash away that taste of bitterness from your mouth. Now, please turn with me to another passage. What I'm doing here is just settling down and finding out some things about bitterness, where it is in our soul. I want you to realize how often it is in the Bible. A lot of people don't pay much attention to bitterness. Does a person get angry? Is a person cruel? Is a person mean? When we think about marriage, we think about people. But I'm going to show you in the Bible, bitterness is so powerful and it's so destructive. But it doesn't rage itself often like anger does, and so we don't think much about it. But it is so destructive to relationships. It is so destructive to a sexual relationship between a husband and wife, to the enjoyment of life. Bitterness is something, people, you have to deal with. You have to allow God to cleanse it. You have to allow God to tear down the stronghold of bitterness, or you're never going to enjoy life. It will always creep up. This is a powerful, powerful source of stress, anxiety, and depression. Please look with me, if you will, along with Proverbs 14:10. Look with me at Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Going to learn some things about bitterness, people. I hope you're ready for dealing with something that's in your soul. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 18. Jeremiah 4:18. Your ways and your deeds have brought these things to you. This is evil. How bitter. How it has touched your heart. Bitterness is related to inside of you. It's not just something superficial. It is inside of you. Verse 19, and this is, I've got to tell you, you're going to learn something else about bitterness. My soul, that's where the bitterness is. I am in anguish. Oh, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent. Because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. People, let me tell you something you're going to learn about bitterness. It cannot remain silent. I know we think a lot about anger, but let me tell you about a jealousy. But let me tell you the power and the destruction of bitterness to your soul. One more passage, and I think that'll be enough. There are others, but look with me at Ezekiel 27. Ezekiel 27. The Jeremiah 4:18, how the bitterness touches the heart. Now Ezekiel chapter 27. Ezekiel chapter 27. Let's look at verse 31. Ezekiel 27, verse 31. Also, they make themselves bald for you and gird themselves with sackcloth, and they will weep for you in bitterness of soul, with bitter mourning. Look where the bitterness is. It's in your soul. People, it's destructive to your soul. That's the real you. This is just going to ruin your life, your capacity, your enjoyment of life. Bitterness and resentment reside inside of you. Bitterness, resentment, do not come from outside of you. They do not come from events in your life. They do not come from what others do to you. Bitterness does not come from outside, does not come from the events of your life, does not come from what others do to you. Bitterness comes with how you react in your soul. Bitterness, resentment is a thought process. And again, we've seen it. Stress, anxiety, and depression is a choice. You choose to be stressed. You choose anxiety. You choose distress. And here you choose to be bitter. Instead of forgiveness, let's put it on the board. Instead of forgiveness, there is bitterness and resentment. Instead of forgiveness, bitterness, resentment. Instead of trusting Him, there is bitterness and resentment. Instead of love, and by love I mean, of course, spiritual love. Instead of spiritual love, bitterness, resentment characterizes your life. Bitterness and resentment like anger. Now here we go. Bitterness and resentment like anger are related to your flesh nature. They are the part of the makeup of the flesh nature. Here's bitterness and resentment, and here is your flesh nature. They come from your flesh nature. And bitterness and resentment are related to the need to control. Now, you may not have related bitterness to that, but I hope to show you what's going on. What's going on in your soul? Bitterness is related to the flesh's desire and need to be in control. I'll show you. Related to being in control. Remember the flesh nature. You have to always remember what we dealt with a long time ago in this study. We saw five things about your flesh nature from the scriptures. We saw that it is continually being corrupted. We saw that it is deceitful above all else. We saw that it is incurably wounded. And we saw that it is insane and full of evil. When a flesh nature realizes its vulnerability, it's got to be in control. When it really senses its own insecurity, it needs to compensate by controlling. If I'm in control, I take care of those big five things. It's not just your husband or your wife that have this need to be in control. It's not just your parents or your children or your boss or your friend. Everyone's flesh nature needs to be in control. Now, and we also know that control is an illusion. But the flesh needs to do that. When you cannot control the other person, as you lose control in life, often you will become bitter toward others. You will become bitter toward those you cannot control. Bitter toward those in control. Bitter about your own life. Now, I'm not going to jump to the passage now because we've got to save it a little later. But bitterness is what is characteristic of a husband toward a wife. It's one of the dangers in marriage. Men are to be aware, should be made aware of that danger. To be bitter toward their wives. Why is that a handicap? Why is that a characteristic handicap of marriage for a man? The man's in control. And the woman won't let him. The woman won't do every little thing he says. And so therefore he becomes naturally bitter. That's his mental state. He becomes bitter when she will not do all that he says. And then the woman becomes bitter toward the man because he is in authority. And various things work out in that area. You have to be aware, people, of the danger of bitterness in marriage, but you better be aware of it in your relationship with the Lord. It is related to the need to control. when you cannot control the other person, when you lose control, maybe in your own life, more often than not, people become bitter toward those others who they cannot control. Very subtle. That's why it's very characteristic in our spiritual life and in marriage. It's very subtle to become bitter until it explodes, and we'll talk about that later. This is when life becomes bitter. Your whole life becomes bitter. Bitterness, resentment against those who you cannot control. And eventually hostility sets in. I'll show you the passages. As we will see, bitterness is strongly characteristic of stress, anxiety, and depression. And I'll show you that. We've already had it in the passage that we read, the anguish. That's the word for stress and depression and related to bitterness. So we'll see it some more. It's strongly related to stress, anxiety, depression. It's related to your spiritual life. It's related to your marriage. It's related to so many relationships in life. Now, what is bitterness? What is bitterness? First, the source. I think we need to start with that. If we're going to learn how to handle this, let's find out a few things about it. What's the source of bitterness and resentment? From your flesh nature. Please recognize that bitterness and resentment come from inside of you, of your flesh nature. Therefore, if you are starting to build a stronghold of bitterness, you know this about yourself, you're in the flesh. You know this about yourself, you're in the flesh. It's part of the immune system of the flesh that ends up destroying it, but it's there to protect it. It's the immune system of the flesh. But it ends up destroying it. It is so easy to see. See, if people, this is so good to be able to see. If you will accept the fact that bitterness finds its source from the flesh nature, that is a wonderful thing to know. Because the cure then is very simple. Not necessarily easy, but very simple. We always want a cure. Something's wrong, we want a cure. We may not like the cure. I'm getting way overweight. What's the cure? Stop eating, yo-yo. Well, I don't think I like that cure. Is there another one? And then that's where everybody makes, that's where a lot of companies and these are, a lot of people make a lot of money. Eat all! I love these advertisers. Eat all you want and lose weight. Yeah, right. But we love that. That's a great cure. We don't want the cure that says, oh, you're overweight, stop eating. Or adjust your eating, maybe not stop eating, but adjust your eating. I don't like that one. Well, what's the cure to bitterness in the soul of the flesh? Walk in the power of the Spirit. Become who you are in Jesus Christ. People, if you will learn, believe who you are in Christ, live who you are in Christ, the stronghold of bitterness is torn down. It has no place with the flesh nature. Oh, with the spiritual nature. It has no place. So understanding the source directs us to the cure. Understanding the source of bitterness directs us to the cure of bitterness. Since the source of bitterness and resentment is the flesh, living in the flesh, thinking in the flesh, the cure, walking in the Spirit. Be and living who you are in Christ. Now, dealing with what is bitterness. Of course it comes, the word, the concept comes from a sense of taste. That's obvious. And we could talk a long time, but I think every one of you can relate to that. And from it we learn what is going on in the soul. Now, it's unfortunate today when we come across things like that. We can't understand bitterness. But even, you know, even our bitterness is today, we enjoy, don't we? Lemon is bitter, but we like it. Sort of a nice little bitterness. It's a different bitter taste. But if you go back to ancient times, bitterness is bitterness. There are a lot of things very bitter. And they didn't have a lot of sugar and a lot of things to coat it. They didn't have good chocolate and good stuff to deal with it. So they had bitterness. And it was a perfect description of what's going on in the soul. So what we learn from how it affects our taste, dose to our soul, something that's distasteful, disagreeable. Therefore, distasteful or disagreeable to the mind is bitterness to the mind. Webster says, marked by intensity or severity. That's what's happening inside of you. Accompanied by severe pain or even suffering. This is going on in your soul because bitterness is in the soul. As if that wasn't enough, there's something that is added to it. Being relentlessly determined, this is Webster's definition, even vehement, demonstrating immense animosity. These are powerful words of what bitterness is. Hostility, marked by cynicism, being a cynic. Bitterness of the soul is often expressed by being very cynic. You listen to people when they open their mouth. Are they cynic? In a lot in their life, bitterness resides in their soul. Also marked by an intense unpleasantness that comes from that concept of the taste. About anything, about everything. All these are going to build up stress, anxiety, and depression in the soul. Another problem with bitterness and resentment is that most people deny. Most people will deny they are bitter in life and resent in life. Anger is pretty hard to deny. What do you mean you don't have anger? I just saw a chair flying across the room. But bitterness, we deny it. It's not happening inside of me. And most people will deny that they are bitter or have resentment. This is the one thing you do not want to do, people. If tonight or today, whatever it is you're listening to this, and you have bitterness in your soul and you know it, don't deny it. That's the one thing you don't want to do. As long as you're in denial, you'll not address it and allow God to cleanse it out of your soul. You will not allow God to tear down the stronghold of resentment and bitterness. Let Him do it. But until you will admit it, acknowledge it, good word for 1 John 1:9, instead verse 1:8 is denial, 1:9 is acknowledge. Acknowledge it so that the process can start. That's why we acknowledge things. Nothing miraculous happens the moment we acknowledge, but it starts you off on the right direction on the cure and the solution. The Greek word in the Bible for bitterness is the noun pikros. If you're interested, transliterated P-I-K-R-O-S, but what does it mean? Well, this is the lexicon meanings of the word of pikros in the New Testament. Animosity, hostility, jealousy. It often would express itself in anger. This bitterness is an inner suffering. An inner suffering. Now people, stay with me. Bitterness of taste is difficult to bear in the mouth. Bitterness is something difficult to bear in the soul. And that's why it's going to produce stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. Bitterness, resentment is a stronghold of the soul, out of which people, it is going to fragment your life. You're not going to be able to enjoy anything in life. You put something bitter in your mouth, you're not going to be able to enjoy other things. You have bitterness in your soul, you're not going to be able to enjoy hardly anything in life. Inside of you, dealing with this anger, or dealing with this bitterness is anger, hate, resentment, hostility, bitter about one's own life. No matter what's going on, a person can actually have nice things happening in their life, but they're carrying bitterness from something in their life, and the bitterness destroys it all. And then it moves into vindictiveness and revenge. That is, make them pay for making your life bitter. Did you hear me? Make them pay for making your life bitter. Make your wife pay for making your life bitter. Make your husband pay. Make your children, your parents, somebody pay for making your life bitter. Bitterness, resentment ruins your inner life. where you are not even able to walk by faith, where you're not even able to have a relationship with God. Let me tell you something else about bitterness. Bitterness motivates. Bitterness motivates. This head rises out of the stronghold of bitterness to motivate action in your life that is destructive to you and to others and to your relationships in life. Bitterness motivates the action toward others instead of spiritual love. Okay, it's time to take a look at a passage. Please turn with me to Job 7. Job chapter 7. Now remember where we are. Job is the first book of the Bible. If this was not just a study of stress, anxiety, and depression, I would study the bitterness all through the book of Job, and you'd be benefited by it. But I don't have that much time. But it's all through the book of Job. Now what's Job about? Job is about a man who, in the first book of the Bible, before Jews ever came, before the law, not written by Jews, not written to the Jews, but written to all of us, all people. It's the first thing God wanted us to know. Now what's the book of Job about? About getting Job saved eternally? No. It starts off with Job in a harmonious relationship with God. Now, what happens to Job? In Job 1:1, Job thinks that he's right with God. He's got it all figured out. He's got God figured out. He's got how to deal with God figured out. If you're righteous, if you run from evil, if you do all these things, then good things will happen to you because you're right with God. Here's how to be right with God. And Job is wrong. And so he's going to start his journey now. It's a long journey for Job in learning what God is really like. And you know what? I'm sorry to tell some of you that are hurting tonight. It's a bitter journey if you start off with the preconceived ideas of what God is like. And that's not what He's like. It's bitter to give up to your ideal of what God is. You become angry at God. You become very bitter. God, I'm doing my part. Boy, in our four circles, I'm learning, I'm being moral, and look what's happening to me. I'm learning doctrine, look what's happening. I'm having all these charismatic experiences, look what's happening. I'm serving you. It isn't working out, and Job's going to become very bitter. It's a strong word, more than any of these other words. It's a strong word in the book of Job, in his journey. And I'm just letting you know from that, from how the importance that I place on the book of Job, that in many people's spiritual journey, it is not uncommon to become very bitter. Spiritually, related to your spiritual life. Now, we don't have a lot of time in the whole study of bitterness, so I'm going to spend a few minutes here because it lays down a lot of things about bitterness that I want you to see so that we can deal with this head of the seven-headed dragon. Job chapter 7, and look with me at verse 11. This is so important. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Now, would you do me a favor? Would you hold your place here and turn back to the Jeremiah passage? I want to show you some characteristics of bitterness, things that are common to bitterness from the Bible. This is not a psychological study of a clinic. This is scripture, biblical. God's point. Now, if you hold your finger to both of them, now let's read quickly Jeremiah 4 and look at let's read 18 and 19 very quickly. Your ways and your deeds have brought these things to you. This is your evil. How bitter, how it has touched your soul, the bitterness of your heart, bitterness touched your heart. My soul, I am in anguish. Oh, my heart, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent. Now look at Job. Turn quickly to Job 17. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish. There's the word again. Of my spirit, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. you're going to express your bitterness. Bitterness will eventually come out. It may take a little while, and I'll deal with that in here, but now let's take a look at it. I just want you to see, wow, bitterness in two different verses, two different things, and yet the same thing. I'm not going to remain silent. I am bitter. This doesn't say angry. I'm bitter. I am bitter about God, about life. Okay, verse 11 in Job 7. The book of Job, first book. First thing God wants us to know. And here is stress, anxiety, and depression in the first book written. First man we meet in the first book of the Bible, the whole book is about him. And it's about his stress, anxiety, and depression and people. It's not related to a woman. It's not related to a financial deal. It's not related to politics. It's spiritual. It's between he and God. And I'm here to tell you that some of your strongest bitterness is in your relationship with God. Now, note the structure, first of all, of Job's thinking. In his stress, anxiety, and depression, he is occupied with himself. He is occupied with his circumstances. And what he is going to do in response to what God has been doing to him. I want you to note, you'll have to look at it, I was going to put it on the board, but we don't need to take the time to do that. I want you to note first negative and then two positives. Look at it now. First the negative and then two positives. I will not restrain my mouth. I will not remain silent. I will not remain in control. I will not do that any longer. I will voice out in anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. People who have bitterness in their soul characterized by complaining. Now, so that you don't miss it, so that you do not miss this, Job is expressing his bitterness against God. Context. Not what I want it to be. Job is expressing his bitterness against God. He blames God. And he is bitter toward God. And all people, if you're hurt tonight from bitterness and resentment, this is so important to be honest with yourself. Acknowledge that your bitterness inside of you. Be honest and don't deny it. It is ultimately you are bitter at God. You're ultimately bitter with God about whatever it is in your life. You're ultimately bitter at God as to what's going on or what has gone on. Most people are in denial that they are bitter toward God. There's something frightening, isn't there? There's something that magnifies our arrogance. I am bitter of God. Boy, no, that's not good. I better not say that. So I'm bitter at the world. I'm bitter at my marriage. I'm bitter at work. I'm bitter at the way the system is. I'm bitter against all men. All men are sick. I'm bitter toward men. I'm bitter toward all women. All women are no good. I'm bitter toward marriage. I'm bitter toward life. I'm bitter. I'm not going to admit that I am bitter toward God. Well, people, please do not deny that you are bitter toward God, that you're angry toward God. Don't deny this. Let me give you a principle that will help you. Surprisingly to you, your God is big enough to take your bitterness. It isn't going to throw him off guard. It isn't going to offend him. God is not going to fall apart. God is not going to go into some rage against you. That's not what kind of God you have. Your sins just aren't going to shake God up. And don't think that they are. I know Christians who just think everything they do is just, God is just going to change. Boy, if I do that, man, if I'm bitter at God, God's just going to get really mad, let me have it. If I do this to God, if I do this, people, please understand your God. He is so big. Your bitterness is not going to shake him up. In fact, I'll show you the good part about that. If you will acknowledge that you are bitter toward God, that will be the beginning step to recovery. If you will acknowledge that you're not bitter toward your husband, your wife, and the world, you're ultimately bitter toward God. You're on the first step of recovery, to tearing down the stronghold of bitterness in your soul. So I challenge you, if you have bitterness in your soul, go into your closet, as it were, express what is going on to your soul to God. Let Him know you're bitter, and you're bitter at Him. Work it out with God. Although all of Job's questions will not be answered by God, his bitterness will be removed. And that's powerful, people. That's so wonderful. That's what God will do. God isn't going to fall apart because you're bitter and stomp you out. Look what God is going to do with Job. All of this stuff, he's going to not answer Job's questions. He's going to remove his bitterness. And that's something that only God can do. That's something a loving God will do. Cleanse out your soul. Tear down the stronghold of bitterness. Now let's look at the passage. Therefore. Now, therefore, here in the Hebrew, Job has now reached a point where his stress, anxiety, and depression must be expressed. And you will reach it also. I will not restrain my mouth. The ideal is, I will not restrain my mouth any longer. Now, most people, for some time, will exercise self-control, especially with bitterness. Not in the Holy Spirit, but in the flesh. They'll be in self-control, not to express their bitterness. But sooner or later, the stronghold of bitterness will manifest itself in the way you talk. You'll hide it for a while, but sooner or later, it will manifest itself. Now, we've seen Ezekiel, now we've seen it in Job. I will not restrain my mouth. Where does this take us? This takes you immediately to our study on what? Self-talk. And what was the first thing? Do you remember the first thing we learned about self-talk was learn to what? Remember? Listen. Learn to listen to yourself. Learn to listen what's going on inside of you. No one has to tell you that you're bitter. All you have to do is learn to listen to yourself. First of all, even before you express it, you can learn this. Just listen to the way you talk inside your soul. And don't be in denial of what you're hearing. The problem is most bitter people justify their bitterness by blaming others, including God. Bitterness and anger are ultimately directed toward God, and Job knows that, and he opens his mouth and expresses his bitterness toward God. Are you bitter? What's going on in your life? Are you bitter at how your life is going? What is not occurring? What is not happening that you would wish? Divorce, finance, family, marriage, achievements, these kind of things. People, if these things are not handled correctly, lead to bitterness. And bitterness is expressed by the mouth. Now note, I will not restrain. I will not keep silent. My bitterness will be expressed. And so he says, I will speak. Express it in words. In the anguish of my spirit. Job, like many Christians, do not even desire to straighten things out with God. They prefer to express their anger. I want to express my anger. I want to express my bitterness. And that's what bitterness does for you. If it kills it, if it gets to be a stronghold, it's got to be expressed. I will speak in anguish of my now. There's our study. See that word anguish? That's our word, stress, anxiety, and depression. The Hebrew word describes distress of soul. That's our study. This bitterness is called FAD in his soul. The Hebrew word describes the stress of the soul. It describes a troubled soul, a narrow, something narrow or tight, something afflicted. And this is a good word, afflicted. This word is perfectly describes what bitterness will do inside of you. It's afflicting to your whole life. Another word that helps us in understanding bitterness and stress, anxiety, depression is that word narrow. I'm dealing with the word anguish. Is the word, the lexicon word narrow, confining. See, this is when you become bitter. This is when you become bitter as your life or your circumstances become narrow and confining, limiting control, become bitter. You feel tied up. Man might feel tied up in marriage, so they become bitter. Gotta watch that. Women feel tied up in marriage and controlled by the man, become bitter. Bitter. Our life has become so narrow, so confining, we become bitter at God. Feel tied up. Your life's in a bind. Become bitter. This binding and this confining ultimately in our view caused by God. Or it may be the result of even your own wrong decisions. So after a while, during this time, the stronghold of bitterness is being built up. Okay, let's move on. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Here's what comes out of the mouth. Complaint. Principle, a bitter person will find himself complaining. Complaining to others, complaining about others. Never pleased, never satisfied. We're not here to study complaining. But please be careful here. Complaining can be the expression of many things, not just bitterness. You might hear some people complain, oh, they're bitter. No, bitterness or complaining can be an expression of many, many things other than just bitterness. It is part of bitterness. But for an example, some people complain to control. See, by always complaining, you control others. They control the people around them by always complaining. Some people often have to complain in restaurants about this, about that. That makes them feel in control. Complain about the family. Complain about the wife. Complain about... what's really happening is, I want to be in control. Complaining about the children. I want to be in control. But it also is an expression of bitterness. It can be that too. I will complain to God in the bitterness of my soul. Again, here you see where bitterness is. It's in the soul. It resides inside of the soul. And it is addressed to God. So this Job is now just starting in a little bit his recovery. He's starting to blame God, becoming bitter to God. And he's expressing that bitterness to God. He's not hiding it. Now, we got to close, but what we're going to do next week is pick it up here a little bit on bitterness and resentment. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but we have a few more things that I do want you to know from Scripture about bitterness. But look at our passage now in closing. Therefore, having put up with this bitterness in my soul long enough, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish, the SAD of my soul. I will complain to God the bitterness of my soul, the bitterness of my soul. And this is on his way of recovery. He's on his way. First thing is to acknowledge that we are bitter at God and then start dealing with it in that perspective. Let's close in a word of prayer. First and foremost, Heavenly Father, in our closing prayer, we want to praise you for the God that you are, the God who desires our faith, our trust, and yet a God who does not go off on a tantrum when we express bitterness, especially in our dealing with you. What an awesome God you are. What a loving God you are. Not reacting to our little infirmities, but you actually, Heavenly Father, miraculously use these things to bring Job to you, to bring us to you, to bring us to faith, to bring us to the point, Heavenly Father, where we don't have to be in control. We don't have to allow bitterness to build a stronghold in our soul. But we can actually become who we are in Christ by just trusting you. Father, we praise you for the God you are. And we pray that these tapes, this study, will get into the soul of anyone that they may help that desires to walk by faith in the Spirit of the living God. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.